Greetings again this evening in our worthy Lord's name, our Savior, our Redeemer. Thank the Lord this evening. Count it a privilege again here to be together this evening and to share the Word of God together in this way. Yes, that is also my heart's cry this evening, that God would open the windows of heaven over each one of our lives in such a way that we see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father this evening. Thinking about you young folks this afternoon and wondering if you can squeeze in another message. You've heard a lot this week. There's been a lot that's been shared. And I trust tonight your heart is still panting for more. More of God. More of His purposes and His will in your life. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'd like to begin there this evening. Struggled for a time this afternoon with what the Lord would have for us here this evening. And I trust that God will come and move in and among us and will give us the message He wants for us to hear. I trust that you will not be here to look at me, but look way beyond that and look to our Heavenly Father, who has a message for us, for each one of us. I want to read in verse 1 in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phrygellus and Hermogenus. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Could we rise again to our feet for a word of prayer? Father, we again approach your throne here this evening. Lord, we have a confidence in you that you have a message here this evening for us. And Lord, that you do desire to speak to your people and you desire to revive your people. And Father, this evening I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you would be here in our midst, speaking to each individual need that is here. Lord, you spoke to my heart this afternoon. And Father, you broke my heart over some of the lacks that I have in my own heart. And Lord, I sense that some of these things are lacking in our midst. And so Lord, I pray that in the name of Jesus, you would come and break the bread of life to us. I pray that you would cause your word to come forth in its clarity and power, and that it would be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask you to anoint my tongue, my mind, that I could speak forth your mind and will here this evening. And we commit this time into your hands through your precious Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. There's three words I'd like to call your attention to. Actually, it's one word that's mentioned three times in this chapter here. That word is the word ashamed. I'd like to speak on a question tonight that I'd like for you to ponder, to ask yourself here this evening, that I asked myself this afternoon. Am I ashamed of Jesus? That's a question I'd like for us to ponder as we go through this evening. In verse 8, the Apostle Paul is writing this to Timothy. He says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He was encouraging Timothy, young man Timothy. He was encouraging him. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't be ashamed to carry about the testimony of the Lord. That your life is a representation of this Jesus. Don't be ashamed of that. And he goes on to say, nor of me, his prisoner. And he encourages Timothy. He says, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Coming back to God has a purpose for each one of us. Last night we spoke about being disabled as Christians in our Christian walk with the Lord. And in that, if you remember, I spoke about or mentioned the fact that, you know, we don't want to be different. And tonight we'd like to take just a little bit closer look at being different in some of that, in some of these areas here. And it comes right in line with whether we're going to be ashamed of Jesus or not. This word ashamed, it's a pretty simple word. I think all of us have experienced it at one time or another, or should have maybe experienced it at one time or another. Some of us have more shame than others, maybe. But I think we know a little bit what this word is like. It simply means to feel shame for something. This word ashamed comes from the Strong's definition, to feel shame for something. And I believe that probably all of us, like I said, have had a time in our life and had times in our life when we felt shame, when we felt ashamed. Maybe we made a foolish mistake and we felt ashamed of it. Or maybe we said something and it was maybe what we said didn't make sense, or we said something wrong or something like that, and we felt ashamed afterward. And we felt that shame inside. Well, this word ashamed is very similar to that. But oh, it has such a far greater and deeper meaning than all of that. Then we just messing up a little bit. Because we're all human. And we do mess up sometimes. We say something wrong sometimes. I might say something wrong here this evening. And sometimes we as ministers of the gospel, we don't always catch what we said wrong. Until we see some smiles and we think, what did I say? It happened to me already. But this ashamed, being ashamed of Jesus, it has a far deeper effect on us than just the physical, than just the outward that we were speaking about a minute ago. It affects us personally in our spiritual life. It affects us. If we are ashamed of Jesus, it has an effect directly upon our spiritual life. I could say tonight that if you're ashamed of Jesus, like we were sharing last night about being disabled spiritually, that will definitely disable us spiritually, being ashamed of Jesus. You see, God wants us to be different. He hasn't planned that we just be a fit-in and fit into our society. Not just trying to be different for the sake of being different, but because we have a purpose and a cause. But it affects us personally when we are ashamed of Jesus. But not only does it affect us, it affects someone else. And that's what I'd like to drive home to us tonight. It affects our Lord Jesus very deeply and very greatly when we are ashamed of Him. Verse 8 said, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." In verse 12, Paul gives this of himself. He says, "For the which cause," he was talking about him being a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. I believe he was probably locked up at this time because of him preaching the gospel. And he wasn't ashamed of the power of... He wasn't ashamed to preach salvation, because it was the power of God unto salvation. He was not ashamed to preach the gospel. He says in verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." We talked about suffering last night. Paul was suffering because of the cause of the gospel. "Nevertheless," he says, "I'm not ashamed." Why is Paul not ashamed? Why isn't he ashamed? Here he is. He's locked up in prison. He can't even fulfill the call that he's sensing from God. Why is he not ashamed? "For I know whom I have believed." The Apostle Paul knew who he was believing in. He knew who he had met that day when he was on his way to Damascus. Paul was a very zealous person. And he was persecuting the believers in Christ Jesus before he was converted. And on his way to Damascus, the Lord Jesus met him. We know the story and how his life was changed. And Paul says here, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Many of you have been making commitments this week. God bless each one of you that has made commitments this week. You know, don't be ashamed of those commitments. You don't need to be ashamed of those commitments. Paul says, "I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Verse 13 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." And this week you've been hearing much. You've heard a lot. Hold fast the form of sound words. Those things that minister to your heart, hold them fast. Write them down. Go back to them. Review them. Allow them to penetrate your hearts. And then in verse 16, we have again this word ashamed. "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain." Here was a brother in the Lord who was not ashamed of Paul being locked up in prison. It says, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, in how many things he ministered unto me in Ephesus. Thou knowest very well. There's only one other place I know this Onesiphorus was mentioned, and that was when Paul was giving greetings. In one of the letters, he gave greetings to the house of Onesiphorus. He had a testimony, Onesiphorus did, and his testimony was that of he was not ashamed of the gospel. He was not ashamed of those that were being persecuted for the gospel. He was not ashamed to associate himself with those that were sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Let's turn over to that verse I tried to quote here a little bit ago in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul's own testimony again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The Apostle Paul's own testimony was again, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he says again, for. That's telling us why he's not ashamed. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That means to every single soul in this room tonight. The power of God can change your life. It can transform you from the person that you used to be into something that God wants to use. It can take a dark, wretched sinner and turn him into a saint. In just not too long a time. Isn't that a blessing? It's the power of God unto salvation. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that gospel that changes people's hearts, that changes people's lives. I'm not ashamed of that gospel. Am I ashamed of that gospel of our Lord Jesus? You see, when we're ashamed of the gospel, there's two things I'd like to draw your minds to when we're ashamed of the gospel. First of all, if we're ashamed of the gospel, if we're ashamed of our Lord Jesus tonight, it shows our lack of love. It shows our lack of love for Him. Let me illustrate that. You know, I'm blessed to have my family here this evening. I was blessed that we could all come as a family. And I'm not ashamed tonight, and if it wasn't a little burdensome, I would ask them all to come up here, the whole family. Because I'm not ashamed of them. I'm not ashamed to introduce to you my wife. Some of you know her. And I'm not ashamed to introduce to you all my children. We have 7. Why? I'm not ashamed of that. Why? I love them. They're a blessing. They're a gift of God to me. And I'm not ashamed of that. Because I love them. God has also given to us a gift. It's the gift of salvation. It's the gift of forgiveness of our sins. It's the gift of knowing God in a personal way, like they didn't know in the Old Testament. It's the gift of being able to enter into the presence of God, into the holiest of all, by the precious blood of Jesus. Not because of your own works, not because of how good you are, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can enter in before our Heavenly Father. With boldness, it says, we can come before our Heavenly Father. What a privilege we have. This gift of salvation, it cost. It cost our Heavenly Father a great deal. Am I going to be ashamed of Jesus? Am I going to be ashamed that my sins, which were many, have been forgiven? Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, reading in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointments. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Which of them will love him most? Remember, when we're ashamed of Jesus, it shows our lack of love. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. What a picture we have. Here's this woman. Very clearly, she had a testimony. She was a sinner. But she came kneeling at the feet of Jesus. I believe her heart was broken as she viewed Jesus, that pure, spotless Lamb of God. You know, when we come face to face with our Lord Jesus and realize His purity and His holiness, what do we see but our own undoneness, our own wretchedness, our own sinfulness? When we come face to face with what Jesus has done for us, and we see and we look, we see our own wretchedness and sinfulness. Here was this woman, and she came in weeping. She came behind him, says, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head. I like that picture because you and I are also sinners. You and I are sinners. And there was a time when we came weeping to our Savior, realizing we were undone. We were sinful people, wretched sinners. You know, and Jesus, it doesn't say that this woman said anything. It doesn't say that she said anything. But Jesus had a lesson in this for Simon. And he gave this illustration of two debtors, the one owing 500 pence, the other 50. And when, verse 42, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? It's a point I'd like to make here. Our love for Christ greatly is dependent on how much we've been forgiven. According to these scriptures, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Well, Simon, I think things were coming home, and he says, I suppose. And isn't that how we do sometimes as well, when we really don't want to admit where we're really at? I suppose. And Simon says, I suppose, he to whom he forgave most. Well, Simon was dead on. He was right on. It's the one who's been forgiven most is the one who's going to love most. Maybe we haven't been forgiven very much. Maybe that's why we're ashamed of Jesus. It's because we haven't been forgiven very much. Could I reword that? It's not that we haven't been forgiven very much. It's what we don't recognize. You see, we don't recognize how much we've been forgiven. We don't recognize how wretched sinners we were. If we truly could see, if the heavens would truly open, we could really see what a wretched sinner we were, kneeling at the foot of, at the feet of Jesus, seeking His face for forgiveness. Some of us felt that way. Some of us know that. Some of us, I can tell, you're in your faces that you can identify with what I'm saying. You were wretched and you knew it. And some of you, you're not so sure. You're not so sure how wretched you really were. Oh, if God could only, if He would only just reveal to us our heart how it was before He came and saved us. If He could just open our heart up. The heart, not our physical heart, but just the very interior of our being. If He could just open that up, then we could see who we really were. You see, all those desires, and I mentioned this last night, but all those desires and those things that are in our hearts, those sins. You go to Galatians 5 and you see all the works of the flesh listed there. You know, every one of us is guilty of every one of those. It's the flesh. Yes, maybe we didn't go and walk it out. But it's in there. It's in our hearts. James says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Those sins are there. And we need to recognize how much we've been forgiven. And I think as we recognize how much we've been forgiven, we don't want to be ashamed of our Lord. Look what He's done for us. Look at the forgiveness. I don't believe this woman went out from this place ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine? Her sins, which are many, coming from Jesus' own words, are forgiven, and she go out and be ashamed of Him? I don't think so. How about you? I don't think she went out from there ashamed. But rather, I think in her heart, there was an overflow going on. My sins are forgiven. I've been set free. Those bondages, those cells that I was living in, that bondage of sin I was in, that had gripped me, and I don't know what kind of woman this was. Was she a very immoral woman or not? Very possible. But she says, my sins, which are many, they're forgiven. And she wasn't ashamed of it. Secondly, when we're ashamed of our Lord Jesus, it shows our lack of appreciation. Shows our lack of appreciation. Not only does it show our lack of love for Him, but it shows our lack of appreciation. And the two are very closely connected. I wonder if I'd have a raise of hands here this evening. When was the last time you opened your mouth and told somebody else, "I've been forgiven"? Some of us, it's been months. Some of us had opportunities to rise to our feet in a church service and just say a brief word in thanksgiving to our Lord Jesus, who's forgiven us of much. But we don't do it. It shows our lack of appreciation for what He's done. Neither have we opened our mouth to anyone else. We haven't opened our mouth even to our friend. When we're just by ourselves, one-on-one. Say, "Well, I don't like to speak in public places." Well, you haven't done it even one-on-one. Right? Simply opening our mouth and confessing, "I've been forgiven." Let's take it a little bit further. Some of us feel embarrassed to talk about spiritual things with our friends. We feel embarrassed when we're talking about spiritual things. Maybe a friend comes up to us even and asks us, "Well, so what's going on in your heart? You know, the message that was preached. You know, what's the Lord sharing to you? I mean, here's what He's sharing to me." And you come all fidgety and you don't know what to say, and you just, you get embarrassed. And yet you say, "Jesus Christ has washed away my sins." And yet you feel embarrassed to talk about spiritual things. You feel embarrassed to talk about what God is doing in your life and just opening up your heart to your friend. And we use all kinds of excuses about these things. "Well, I'm shy." Or, "I just can't say it right." Or, "I don't know what to say." And we use those kind of excuses to pass off the very fact that we're really being ashamed of Christ. We're really ashamed of Christ Jesus. Because you take these same people that use these excuses and say, "I'm shy," or "I just can't say it right," or "I don't know what to say," and we take these same people, put them around their friends that are just like them, and they can talk and talk and talk, and they can talk your ear off, so to speak. They can talk about the hunting. They can talk about the fishing. They can talk about the new dress styles. They can talk about all kinds of things. They can share all their jokes together. But they won't open their mouth for Christ Jesus. And they still say, "The Lord Jesus saved me one day." Listen, how does Jesus feel about it? He hears all that. How does our Lord Jesus feel about it? Do you think He thinks, "My, that person sure is ungrateful. I don't get any thanks from him"? Listen, I think God feels that way, doesn't He? After all I've suffered for them, here they are and they can't open their mouth even and say, The Lord Jesus saved me. He's forgiven me. Just something simple. You know, Jesus, or God, in God's Word, there in Romans, He tells us that we should open our mouth and we should confess the Lord Jesus with our mouth. And you wonder sometimes, and I've struggled with this, wondered sometimes what to say to someone. You felt God prompting you to say something, but you really didn't know what to say. But you know what the Bible says about that? All we need to do is say what the Lord hath done. God doesn't require us to preach some fancy sermon to this sinner. Just share your own personal testimony. And yes, God might take it further than that and lay more things upon your heart. But many times it's just simply sharing what God has done for you. It doesn't have to be some fancy words. Oh, and this thing of being ashamed, it goes so far. We'll get into it some more a little bit later. There's a song I like. The first verse says, "Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause?" Finish it for me. "Or blush to speak His name." Or blush to speak His name. Wonder what all that songwriter had on his mind when he penned those words. "Or blush to speak His name." How must Jesus feel? Am I ashamed of Him? Am I showing my lack of love for Him? You know, we come to church and we sit in our seats and we sing those wonderful hymns, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and "There is a name I love to hear." And we sing, "I love You, Lord. I lift my hands to worship You." And we sing all kinds of songs like that. I wonder if Jesus feels mocked by our life. I wonder if He feels mocked. Because we won't express that love that we have for our Savior to anyone else. But we'll sing these songs. We might even lift up our hands while we're singing that song. But when was the last time that you confessed the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for you? Let's look at another scripture in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. "And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the Gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and of My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels." These two words, "ashamed" in verse 38, are the exact same words. To feel shame. To feel shame. Verse 35 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." You see, we love our reputation. We love our reputation. We love who people think we are. We don't want to be different than anyone else. You know, when you're around certain types of people, you act a certain way. When you're around a different group of people, you flow right in with them. Over here on this side, we have those people that are telling jokes and carrying on, and we just blend right in. And over here are these spiritual, could I say, those people that are talking about the Lord. And when we get over here, we just kind of blend in with them. We don't say a lot. Are we ashamed of the testimony of our Lord? We like our reputation. I think God is asking us to lay our reputation down. For whosoever will save his life, or could I say, save his reputation, even, or try to build a reputation for himself, shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. That's where true life begins. When we're willing to lose our life because of what Christ Jesus has done for me, and we're not ashamed of it, and we're willing to risk our own physical life for the sake of the gospel. Verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Those are startling words. Are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus? We do truly live in an adulterous and sinful generation. That is very true. Those words were penned many, many years ago. And here they are, ever so true, ever so new, ever so right on. We live in a very adulterous and sinful generation. And these aren't my words. These are the words of our Lord Jesus tonight. These are the words that Jesus says to us. Those of us sitting here tonight and we're evaluating this question, am I ashamed of my Lord? Am I ashamed of Jesus? He says, we're going to be ashamed of Him. And I think He's talking about here and now in our life, in our lifespan. Then he says, I also will be ashamed. You know, just picture those words coming from our Lord's lips. I can imagine that his lips were trembling a bit to realize that there would be those people that would be ashamed of him, that at the last day, when he comes again, he's going to be ashamed of you. But something stood out to me this afternoon as I was looking at this. Let me draw your attention to it. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words. It's one thing to be ashamed of Christ Jesus, and we don't want to open our mouth to confess what He's done for us. But the two, there's two things here. Are we ashamed to walk out the Word of God? You've heard a lot this week about how God wants us to live, how God wants us to walk out the Christian life. And I think God is calling us to a choice, to make some choices, even here tonight. We don't like to be different. But like was shared already, the Word of God will cause us to be different. If we follow and truly follow the principles of the Word of God, it will cause us to lead a different life. And we won't fit in. with even nominal Christianity. We won't fit in. If you're going to follow the Word of God. But you know what's happening? Many of us are ashamed of not only our Lord, but we're ashamed of His Word. We're ashamed to walk it out. We're ashamed to follow it. We're ashamed to put on what He wants us to put on and be different. We're ashamed. And it boils down to we're ashamed of our Lord. We're ashamed of Him. These are His own words. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels. You know, that broke my heart today as I thought about that. How would that feel on the day when our Lord Jesus returns? And you know, that day, that's the end of time. There'll be no more time to make things right. There'll be no more time to change. There'll be no more time to repent of these things at that day. Right now, we have a day of grace. We have mercy to repent of these things. But oh, can you imagine how that would cut your heart when Jesus comes and He sees right into the depth of your heart and my heart. He says, you've been ashamed of me. It's been a pattern in your life. You've been ashamed of me. You've been ashamed of my words. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do what I ask you to do. It was very clear in the Word of God, but you wouldn't follow. And He says, I'm ashamed of you. Oh, how that would cut to your heart, wouldn't it? To cause our Lord Jesus shame. To cause Him shame and grief because of who we are and what we've been doing. Being ashamed of Him. We can't even open our mouth in a simple way to say, I've been saved, I've been redeemed, I've been cleansed. The Lord Jesus has washed my sins away. To cause Him shame, the one who was stripped and beaten for you and I. To cause Him shame. To cause Him shame, the one who mocked. Who was mocked and scorned because of your sin and my sin. The one who was slapped. The one who was spit upon. The one who hung on the cross in your place and in my, for you and for me. For my place and for yours. He hung there. The one who cried out, it is finished. What is finished? The work of salvation. The free gift to mankind. The gift of salvation, that we can be set free from sin. That we can have a glorious hope in heaven. It's finished. The price has been paid for man's sin. And to cause Him to be ashamed of us. What a grief after all He went through. And you might be thinking here tonight, well, I think this year especially, just backing up just a little before I say what I was going to, this especially being ashamed here, it's a pattern. It's, you know, some of us, we've had those times and it's not our will, or it's not our desire, could I say? We've had those times when we were ashamed. God prompted us. We failed the test. We knelt at His feet. Lord, forgive me. I was ashamed of you. And we come back. But I'm talking about a pattern. I believe Jesus is talking about a pattern here. Those who will be ashamed a present continuous, I'm ashamed. I won't do what God wants me to do because I'm ashamed. I don't want to be different. I want to be like the rest of society. Why can't I be just like everyone else and still get to heaven? We're going to be judged how? By our society about us? By the things that our church said? The things that the elder said? I hope some of that, yes. But no, ultimately no. We're going to be judged by this book right here. Are we going to be ashamed of this book? And the question might be lingering in your mind, well, am I still going to get to heaven if I'm ashamed of Jesus and He's ashamed of me? I don't know. Is that a question? Is that a fair question? Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Amen. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Again, very powerful words. In both aspects, verse 32 says that if we confess Him before men, He will confess us before our Father which is in heaven. Oh, I trust there's a burning desire in each one of our hearts to be confessed before the Father. I want my name confessed before the Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And I thought about those 10 virgins and the illustration of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, and how that the foolish didn't prepare, and they had to go out and buy oil for their lamps because their lamps had gone out. And behold, the bridegroom was coming. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And he went in and he shut the door. The door was shut. They came back knocking, wanting in. They were denied entrance. Were they not? What did Jesus say? He said, I never knew you. Can I be ashamed of my Lord and expect entrance into heaven? Oh, I think we want our name to be confessed before God by Jesus. You know, there's a day coming. We know about the great judgment day, don't we? That great judgment day, we've been taught. We know the scriptures about that great judgment day when you alone will stand before Almighty God to give account of the deeds done in your body, whether they're good or bad. And at that day, Jesus standing there at the right hand of the Father. Will He know us? Will He know you and I? Because we've confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and have believed in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead and it's changed our life. And He will confess us before the Father. Yes, Father, here's a faithful one. Here's one that has chosen me above all these earthly things. Here's one that has chosen to repent of their sin. Here's one that has chosen to yield their life to me all the days of their life. And you hear those words. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. On the other hand, we've been ashamed of Jesus. We've been ashamed of His Word. And we enter before the great judgment seat of Christ. And God knows everything, you know that. Right? God knows everything. He sees right into the depth of our heart. He knows everything. We've denied Him. And to hear those words coming from our Lord Jesus, just like the Scripture says here, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. There you are. There's no more choice. Choice has left. Time has vanished. You stand before Almighty God, having denied Him, having been ashamed of Him. And Jesus says, you've denied me before men. He says, you never told anyone what for price I paid for your sin. You were ashamed. And brothers and sisters, there won't be any arguing there. But picture with me if you would argue. Well, but Jesus, you don't understand. I made this little profession. I prayed the prayer. I was baptized. And before I was baptized, I got up and I made this little profession that you saved me. You don't understand. Something must be wrong here. You see, Jesus looks right straight into our heart. And He says, but your life denied me all these years. The Word of God is your judge. And it will judge us at the last day. You've been ashamed of me. You've denied me before men. And you know, friends, Jesus is just going to say it just like it is. I mean, He's just going to paint the perfect picture of your life. It should strike our hearts here tonight. Jesus doesn't lie. The Father knows us from beginning to the end. He sees right into our hearts. Well, Jesus, you know I read my Bible every day. And I say this prayer. I pray my prayers. But with sad eyes, Jesus will deny us before the Father if we've been ashamed of Him. And I don't believe we'll hear these words, come ye blessed of my Father. We won't hear those words. We'll hear, depart. I never knew you. Friends tonight, brothers and sisters, am I ashamed of Jesus tonight? Have I been ashamed of Him? Is it a pattern in my life? Which of these words will we hear? Come ye blessed of my Father. Or will we hear, depart, I never knew you. We still live in a day of choice. As long as you have breath here tonight, you can choose. And you can say here tonight, yes, my life has been a pattern of being ashamed of Jesus. My life doesn't measure up to the Word of God. You can say that here tonight, and things can be different. Oh, I think of Peter. There he was. Jesus had told him. Jesus had forewarned him. You're going to deny me 3 times. And sure enough, it happened just like Jesus said. Before that rooster crowed, Peter had denied the Lord. He was ashamed, wasn't he? He was even ashamed just to be identified as one of the disciples. He was asked that question and flatly denied it. No, I'm not one of them. He was ashamed. 3 times he denied our Lord. But when Jesus looked at him, and Jesus is looking at you tonight. You that are ashamed. Jesus is looking at you tonight. He sees right into the depth of your heart. He knows what's in there. He knows those reserves. He knows where you're not giving up. Where you're not willing to follow Him all the way. He knows that, and He's looking at you. You know, I don't think Jesus had to say anything to Peter. But those eyes upon him broke Peter's heart. And the Bible says that Peter went out and wept bitterly. What good admonition for us. If you've been ashamed of our Lord, after all that He's done for you, and you're ashamed to follow Him, you're ashamed to walk in His ways, you're ashamed to confess Him before men, oh, Jesus' eyes are upon you tonight. And we need to do like Peter did. We need to go out and weep bitterly. We've been ashamed. And again, is this a pattern in your life? I realize we don't always do what God wants us to do. But I'm talking tonight, is this a pattern in your life? But even otherwise, if you've never repented of those times when you've been ashamed, I trust you have. But if you've never been repented of those things tonight, come to our Lord. Come to His feet and weep bitterly over your need. I don't know that we need an invitation song tonight. God has spoken to your heart. And you know this is your life. You know you're ashamed. You were making a profession of Christ, but you're ashamed. Come tonight. Yes, just come. God has spoken to your heart. Get out of your seat. Come here. Weep bitterly before the Lord. Oh, that Jesus would turn His eyes on us tonight and look into the depth of our heart where we've been ashamed of Him and of His words. Oh, that He would change our hearts. Shall we pray, Lord? Pray tonight, give us broken hearts. Lord, we've been ashamed We've been ashamed of you. We've disgraced you by our life. How we've been ashamed of you and of your words. Oh Lord, tonight come and bring a refining in our hearts. Even as you said in Hebrews that you would, that you were not ashamed to call us brethren. And you're not ashamed to be called our God. Father, tonight, those would be the words on your heart. As these that have come repent and bow their hearts to you in humility and brokenness and weep bitterly over the shame that they've had for your name's sake and for the sake of your word. Lord, just come and deal in our hearts here tonight. We commit each one into your hands. Meet with each one here tonight. We pray these things in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus. Maybe we could have one verse of song. The invitation is still open. God has spoken to your heart. Just come forward. Kneel before the Lord. Weep bitterly, even as Peter wept.
366.
The invitation's open to all. God's spoken to your heart in the back. Make your way up front. Let the Lord deal with you tonight. And take away that shame. Shall we sing?
Fully surrendered, Lord divine, I will be true to thee. All that I am or have is thine. I will be true.
Maybe you've never been born again tonight. And God has spoken to your heart about His saving grace. And you see yourself as lost. Come tonight. Find the Savior. He can set you free. Your sins, which are many, can be forgiven tonight. Shall we sing another verse?
Though it may cost me friends and home, I will be true to thee. Cause me in lands afar to
thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.